There's an airline bailout coming, but not from government. Airline employment has dropped sharply. And JetBlue founder David Neeleman is back in business. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, December 17th, 2008. The International Air Transport Association predicts 2009 will present airlines with the worst revenue crisis since the end of the Second World War. But there's a bailout on the way, and not from government, from Boeing and Airbus. IATA CEO and Director General Giovanni Bisignani told the Times of London the two big manufacturers will offer billions of dollars in loans to their airline customers to prevent a disastrous collapse of their order backlogs. The airlines are already carrying lots of debt, and without available credit would find themselves unable to take delivery of aircraft already ordered. Bisignani estimates the airline industry's worldwide combined debt at $190 billion. Quote, "In this climate, it is not going to be easy to fund their needs to buy new planes. It is going to be very, very tough for those large players," unquote. Consultant Chris Terry is among industry observers who say the talk of big order backlogs is no longer impressing investors. Quote, "The manufacturers have been in denial. Both Airbus and Boeing each have between 800 and 900 planes on their order books, many of which the carriers are not going to be able to take. There is far too much equipment about to be delivered as we enter the downturn, and someone has to take the risk," unquote. China delivered a wake-up call to the industry last week, urging its own airlines to cancel or reschedule 2009 aircraft deliveries. U.S. scheduled passenger airlines employed 5.7% fewer workers in October this year than in October of last year. DOT's Bureau of Transportation Statistics notes this makes the fourth consecutive drop in full-time equivalent employee levels and the largest year-to-year decrease since July of 2006. The October FTE total of 394,300 was also the lowest since 1993. FTE calculations count two part-time employees as one full-timer. American Airlines employed the most FTEs in October among the network carriers. Southwest employed the most among low-cost carriers, and American Eagle employed the most among regionals. You can find more details on the report in the text version of this story at aero-news.net. Recession or not, JetBlue founder David Neeleman launched his fourth airline Monday, and the blue theme continues. Azul Linhas, Portuguese for blue lines, received its first airplane just a few days ago. The Brazilian domestic carrier will initially serve the cities of Campinas, Salvador de Bahia, and Porto Alegre. Azul is launching operations this month with three Embraer 195s and two Embraer 190s. The company has a total of 78 Embraer jets on order and plans to defy the economy by growing to serve 25 cities during 2009. Neeleman commented, quote, "Having been born in Brazil, it's so exciting to be able to start a new airline in my other home. Brazil is the second largest economy in the Americas and 10th in the world, but only about 5% of Brazilians currently fly, given the high cost of domestic travel. There is tremendous unsatisfied leisure demand for airline seats because fares are too high, and business travelers suffer circuitous routings and lack of frequency. With only 40% fewer seats per aircraft, we can provide more frequent and direct service in markets that our competition can't economically serve," unquote. The word blue in the name isn't the only part of Neeleman's new venture that appears informed by his last one. Azul's aircraft will be furnished with leather seats and eventually offer passengers live TV on individual seatback monitors. The first five rows of each cabin will offer 34-inch pitch, available for about $13 per flight segment. Delta Airlines is diving right into the task of reorganizing its fleet deployment following its acquisition of Northwest Airlines. In a break from the now common strategy of focusing on as few aircraft models as possible to save on training and maintenance costs, Delta will instead embrace fleet diversity to optimize aircraft for routes served. The Wall Street Journal reported on an internal memo outlining 14 changes the airline will make to improve efficiency. One example is its service between New York and Venice, which has been run using a Boeing 767-300. Delta says that starting next summer, it will switch to using a larger Airbus A330, which came in as part of Northwest's fleet. Glenn Howenstein, Delta's Executive VP of Network Planning, said recently that fleet simplification, exemplified by Southwest Airlines' exclusive use of Boeing 737s, isn't necessarily the way to go. Quote, "We will trade off fleet complexity with an ability to better match the market," unquote. For the time being, the combined airline will have to keep crews from Northwest operating planes from the Northwest fleet, pending receipt of a joint operating certificate from the FAA. Delta expects that to happen by the end of 2009. Regarding rumors Delta will make significant changes to aircraft orders already placed with Boeing by both airlines before the merger, a company spokeswoman would say only that a combined fleet will have different future needs than those of two separate airlines. Coming up next, the Google Lunar XPRIZE welcomes two new teams. NTSB says a heart attack may have caused a June crash. And Go Airlines announces good news and bad news. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for speech frequencies in extremely high-noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for December 17th. I'm Paul Plack. The XPRIZE Foundation has announced two new international teams in the Google Lunar XPRIZE. The $30 million competition challenges participants to land a vehicle on the moon, travel 500 meters, and transmit a mooncast back to the Earth. In a telepress conference from Google headquarters on Tuesday, officials introduced Euroluna and Selene. This brings the total number of teams to 16 from 7 different countries. Euroluna, as its name suggests, is based in Europe. The team is led by Palle Hastrup, who is a founding member and current president of the European Lunar Exploration Association. Team Euroluna includes 6 members who range from 16 to 60 years of age and whose backgrounds span from chemical and mechanical engineering to software and business administration. Team Euroluna plans to utilize commercial off-the-shelf technologies that will be downsized and implemented in the design of their craft, Romet. Selene is headed by Marcus Bindhammer. Team Selene, named for the Greek goddess of the moon, is based in China and consists of a Chinese and German group of mathematicians, physicists, and designers, along with aerospace and robotic engineers. Team Selene's concept of a rocket car as the lunar rover will be driven by a rocket engine and powered by solid fuel, liquid fuel, or compressed gas. Luroka 1, the working name of the vehicle, will be equipped with 4 HD cameras and designed for simplicity and cost efficiency. To claim the full amount of the various prizes funded in the $30 million purse, a team must complete its mission by the end of 2012. The National Transportation Safety Board has released its probable cause report on the June 29th crash on takeoff of a Cessna 206 in Santa Rosa, New Mexico. While investigators say it's impossible to know for sure, there is evidence the pilot may have suffered a heart attack. Witnesses say the station air stalled while making a steep climbing left turn out from the airport and caught fire on impact with the runway. All 5 occupants died. The NTSB report includes this, quote, "The autopsy report noted that the pilot had severe narrowing of a major coronary artery and evidence of a clot formed at the site of that narrowing. It is possible that the decedent experienced acute cardiac symptoms, such as a heart attack, shortly after takeoff," unquote. Pilot health wasn't the only issue. Estimates of the plane's payload and fuel capacity performed by investigators showed the 206 had an aft CG at the time of takeoff, and depending on fuel load, may have been about 37 pounds over gross as well. That conflicts with the pilot's calculations retrieved from the wreckage, which showed the plane within limits. No deficiencies with the plane's airframe or engine were found. Officials at Pittsburgh International Airport are wasting no time and sparing no expense in promoting the airport's first transatlantic route in over 4 years. The Associated Press reports Delta Airlines plans to start nonstop service to Paris in June 2009, using a narrow-body Boeing 757-200 5 days a week. Delta says the new route will offer Pittsburgh air travelers connections to over 90 cities in Europe through the Paris hub of its partner, Air France. To help ensure the debut is successful, on Friday, the Allegheny County Airport Authority approved spending $600,000 of its own money to promote the route. Usually, airlines pay that tab. Allegheny County Executive Dan Honorato commented, quote, "Reestablishing nonstop air service to Europe has been one of my highest priorities during the last 4 years. Nonstop service to Paris will enhance access to Europe for international companies based here," unquote. Delta is christening the new service with a special one-way fare of $599 from Pittsburgh to Paris for travel through June 30, 2009. The fare also applies to passengers who connect through Pittsburgh from Raleigh-Durham. Delta is backed by a promise of up to $9 million in subsidies if the route doesn't become profitable. Mesa Air Group's GO subsidiary recorded an uptick in November of 1.27% year-to-year in passenger volume. That's an encouraging sign for the unprofitable Hawaiian inter-island carrier in a time when many big airlines are seeing near double-digit drops in volume. The news wasn't as good on a per-seat basis. GO's load factor for November was just under 64%, down from over 70 last year. That means the number of available seats increased more than the number of passengers. On-time performance for the month was about 82%, which also sounds good. But in Hawaii, airlines typically run 90-plus percent of their flights on time due to the great weather. Still, Mesa Air Group Chairman and CEO Jonathan Ornstein is, quote, "encouraged by the increase in passengers in spite of the current economic downturn. Advance bookings remain above last year's numbers," unquote. Ornstein also commented on the controversy surrounding his company's plan to license the rights to the name of former rival Aloha Airlines, which Mesa drove out of business with its discount GO brand. Quote, "As part of the agreement to license the Aloha name, each former Aloha employee will receive 6 space available round-trip passes per year. At today's ticket prices, this benefit is worth approximately $2 million a year and $20 million over the life of the licensing agreement. Aloha is a name dear to all of us, and we at GO would love to see it as a symbol of great service, the lowest fares, and affordable inter-island travel for everyone," unquote. Still ahead, food banks get leftover bits of the good life. Maryland's OC Air Show will move to Father's Day weekend. And Jack Pelton pays tribute to Orville and Wilbur. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800 for Cessna.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, December 17, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. If you're down on your luck and live near the Seattle-Tacoma International Airport, you might come home from the food bank with some first-class cuisine, literally. In an economic environment which has sensitized all of us to spotting examples of waste, officials of Alaska Airlines reportedly didn't want to see unopened snacks served to first-class passengers go to waste. The Portland Business Journal reports that started what Alaska Airlines calls its food basket system. The effort to save the unused food began in January, and so far, Alaska, with the help of its catering contractor LSG Sky Chefs, has been able to send almost 19,000 pounds of bagged dried fruit, salami, cheese spread, crackers, cookies, and other items to the Oregon Food Bank, which in turn serves smaller regional food banks throughout the state. In Washington State, the effort has brought more than 61,000 pounds of food to the Tukwila Pantry, which provides food in neighborhoods around SeaTac. Alaska Airlines is a subsidiary of Alaska Air Group Incorporated, based in Seattle. Now that the annual ICAST convention is over, air shows around the U.S. are firming up their dates and lineups for 2009. The U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds have announced they'll perform at next year's OC Air Show in Maryland. The event will open Ocean City's summer season in style as it moves to a weekend taking place June 13th and 14th. Hey, that's also Father's Day weekend. Makes a great gift. Airshow President Brian Lilly is clearly pleased. Quote, "This is what we set out to achieve. All our hard work is paid off. We're honored that the Thunderbirds have awarded Ocean City a date on their 2009 schedule." Unquote. The Thunderbirds will headline a four-hour event that includes military aircraft demonstrations, low-altitude flyovers, and civilian aerobatic performances, and the return of the U.S. Army Golden Knights parachute team. Hours are noon to 4 p.m. each day, and the event can be viewed along the entire length of the boardwalk. While that allows the budget-minded opportunities to see the event at no charge, premium viewing opportunities and the VIP Flightline Clubhouse are available at extra cost. Elevated boardwalk skyboxes and waterfront hospitality chalets on the beach will be available to businesses and groups. TrueFlight is celebrating a significant anniversary this week. It was 10 years ago Monday that the first Flight Cheetah system was sold. The Flight Cheetah was the first GPS moving map system to provide satellite data link weather for general aviation. At the time, the system used the Orbcomm Low Earth Orbit Satellite Network, operating as a relatively low-bandwidth two-way connection in the sky, where the pilot would request and receive weather. It also could do emails, send and receive, as well as send out position reports. Several years later, that feature was used by Eric Lindberg while flying across the Atlantic to send position reports and send and receive email. About 5 years ago, the Flight Cheetah switched to the XM weather system, making TrueFlight the first and so far only company to use Datalink winds aloft data to show the pilot both the fastest and most fuel-efficient flight levels. TrueFlight President Robert Kelberer recalls the system's capabilities created quite a stir. He recalls one anecdote in particular. Quote, "One of our customers was flying IFR en route from Pueblo, Colorado to Wichita, Kansas, and he could see about 100 miles west of Wichita that there was a massive storm. He told the controller that there was no way he could get to Wichita on his current flight plan. When the controller asked him how he could see what was 400 miles ahead of him, he joked and said he had his 400-mile radar turned on, then explained he was receiving live weather through a satellite. The controller was shocked that such a thing existed, and just at that point, the pilot of a commercial airliner, wasting no time to adopt this new technology, broke in and asked the pilot where the storm front was. The commercial airliner pilot then requested changes in his route to avoid the storm. Little did his passengers know they were being guided by a pilot in a Piper Comanche all the way back from Pueblo, Colorado." Unquote. And finally today, we can't let the day pass without noting that it's the 105th anniversary of the Wright brothers' first powered flight at Kitty Hawk. Yesterday, Cessna President and CEO Jack Pelton paid tribute. Quote, "As we wrap up a year in which Cessna and the general aviation industry as a whole delivers more business jets than ever before, we'd be remiss if we did not pay tribute to Orville and Wilbur. Not only did their 12-second flight on December 17th transform the world by giving us the power of controlled flight, but their application of scientific methodology displayed the passion needed to make the most of flight as a tool." Unquote. Pelton went on to note that the Wright brothers inspired many others at that time who went on to make great contributions to aviation, including Wichita's Clyde Cessna, who taught himself to fly a few years later. Cessna Aircraft Company took its present form in 1927 and has since produced nearly 200,000 aircraft, more than any other manufacturer in history. Pelton adds, quote, "While the mainstream media often portray general aviation as an extravagant perk only available to the wealthy, it's clear to those of us in the industry that general aviation provides an incredible productivity tool that allows unequaled capabilities and access to the world. Like many others, I marvel at what our industry has accomplished in just 105 years of powered flight, and I can only dream of what we might achieve in the next 100. There's no doubt general aviation faces many near-term challenges, but in taking a long-term perspective, my outlook for the industry is positive, and my vision is that the best is yet to come for the businesses, communities, and families benefiting from general aviation." Unquote. You know, I thought that might be a nice closing note in a sea of negative economic news. Here's to a happy and prosperous 2009. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll ask AOPA Executive VP Andy Cibula, what we do now that the FAA has made the Washington, D.C. ADIS permanent. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.